That's exactly what happens when you reach out to the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You start becoming more and more like Him. Amen. How many enjoyed the song service?
Amen.
We're going to let the musicians have their seats. Man, that was really good. I'm so blessed. I mean, you can say that.
Amen.
I'm so blessed. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open to the book of James. To read a familiar scripture we've read many times. Perhaps the Lord will give us a further thought on it. I'm going to title this today, A Proper proper manifestation, proper gift, but proper manifestation, proper expression. Amen. So proper gift. So James chapter 1 verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And then I want to read Romans chapter 11 verse 29. Another one we're very familiar with, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we realize we are blessed people. And we want to thank you this morning for your blessings upon us and just allowing us to come together again and to worship you. Lord, to be able to look into your word of life, Lord, the bread of life. And so we're asking, Lord, this morning that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would just come in and speak to each one, Lord, in your own special way. Lord, a man cannot do that. I might try to speak to one person, but there's no way that I could speak to each one. Lord, we know that you're able to. And so we have high expectations, Lord, that you would just come now, that you would break the bread of life to your children. We love you, Lord, and we just commit this time into your hands. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to be talking about gifts today, but I'm going to give you a disclaimer real quick. This does not come from Christmas. I realized after I started writing these things down as they were coming, I realized that this probably would fit kind of with the Christmas season and so forth. And if you can use it to help you understand Christmas, the true Christmas, then that's fine. But it did not come from that. It's come from a totally different thought. And that is how that God comes in and comes down and lives through his people and manifests himself through his people. And so that was where it came from. So how many love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
How many's got victory?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We do. I've said many times, you know, Brother Van was, we talk about an invincible army. An invincible army doesn't mean you don't fall once in a while. It just means that you always get back up. And so you're here. Amen. You're still fighting that good fight of faith. And so you're still that invincible army, and you always will be as children of God. So a proper gift this morning. You know the scriptures, we just read it there, that every good gift cometh down, you know, from above. And so we just kind of, you know, sometimes there's scriptures, just one little scripture that you could break it down and it speaks so much in itself. And this is one of those that you could really comment on a lot. And so when the scripture says every good gift and every perfect gift, right, it says cometh down from above. And so as we've talked in the past, you know, there's higher, there's different realms, right? And so, you know, like we talk about a person who's slow learning, a lower level of learning or so forth, but as you go higher education, higher learning, higher realms. And so you realize that the highest realm there is the realm where God dwells and his plan and his purpose. And so every good gift and every perfect gift comes from that realm, comes from above. It comes down from the Father of lights,
right?
He's the Father of lights. That means his children can dispel darkness. That means any child of God can walk into any dark situation and can drive darkness away, right? Even the smallest candle, darkness has no power over it.
Right.
You really think about it. Darkness has no power over even the smallest candle. And so if he's the Father of light, that means his children are lights also. And the scripture says that with him there is no variableness. Now listen, natural type spiritual. And you know that the sun shines all the time.
Yeah.
And the sun just putting out his energy all the time. It doesn't change because it's up in the heavens, right? Naturally, it's in the heavens. So there's no variables with God.
Yeah.
God doesn't change from one day to the next. God does not change his opinion of you today is not different than it was 10,000 years ago.
Amen.
His opinion today of you is exactly the way it was 10,000 years ago, and his purpose for you today is exactly the way it was 10,000 years ago. He doesn't change. There's no variableness in him. Mm-hmm. Right? There's no variableness. I guess science could probably say, well, the sunshine, it gives out a little more here and a little more there once in a while. But for us, it shines all the time. It's always there. And so there's no variableness in that. There's no variableness in God, right?
Yeah.
There is variableness down here. There are clouds that come. There are things that come, things that happen. But the scripture said with him, there's no variableness nor shadow of turning.
Right.
See, the things that bring shadows are here, are earthly.
Yeah.
Right? But the source comes from heaven. And so with God, there is no variableness. And so in our walks and in day-to-day things and so forth, if there's any variableness, it's not coming from God. Right? It's not coming from our Father, but it's earthly. And so we realize this, and so it's this arrangement of what this scripture is telling us, that these things, that and every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God, and who has a purpose and a desire, and it's always been, he doesn't change. And so, you know, whatever it is today that he wants for you, whatever he wants for you, whatever he wants to do through you, it's the same today as it's always been, and it'll be that way tomorrow and on and on.
Right.
It doesn't change. There's no variableness. So every good gift comes from God. But many things that people call good, many gifted things or whatever that they call good, is not necessarily good, right? Because you realize that, and the reason why they're not is because they're not pointing to God. They're not pointing to salvation. They're not pointing to God's purpose, right? But every good gift, every perfect gift comes from there, has a purpose from there, and is going to do what he wants. It's going to be a purpose that he wants, right? And it'll always work his program. But many, many things, probably, I don't know, percentage-wise, but most things probably that we're used to seeing in this world, they don't point to the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't point to salvation. And so, but every good gift does.
Yeah.
Every perfect gift does. And so, we realize, we read there in the scriptures there, that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance.
Right.
And I've heard it said, you know, it's talking about Israel and you know, and so his purpose for them is still the same. And I've heard it said, well, that's just to Israel. But that's not just to Israel. God's gifts and his calling are without repentance. And there's at least two ways you can look at that. And one of those is that God's gift that he wants to give to you, and God's gift that he wants to work through you, he ordained those and has ordained those to be in your life before you ever repented.
That's right.
It's without repentance. He has established it. And so, but the other way to look at it is to realize that once God has established that, he will not repent of it. He will not change his mind on it. He doesn't regret it. He's not going to take it back.
Yep.
Right? What he has planned to gift you with, and what the gift he's planned to give to you, he doesn't change. He's not going to take it back. But as we'll find out as we kind of read some quotes here this morning, or a quote, that the gifts that God sends, too often they are rejected.
Yeah, right.
They're overlooked. They're rejected. They're not wanted. And so it's too sad that it's that way. But it is. That's the truth. It is that way. They're rejected so many times. Brother Branham tells us in this sermon, then Jesus came and called. And he said, now notice, this Jesus was the greatest gift that God ever gave the earth, the world. God so loved the world, John 3:16. And he said, now people had faith in that. But he said, always God's gifts are looked down upon by the modern religious moves. Look back at any time and any day of Elijah, in the days of Elijah, or in the days of Moses, the days, anywhere you want to, wherever it is, it's always looked down upon, always, and it never changes. So it's the same today. God's gifts are always looked down upon.
Yeah.
not to the believer, not a believer, but to the world in general, because it doesn't come the way that they think it should come. It doesn't come in the way they want it to come. And so we realize that when we can receive the gifts of God in our life, we can recognize them in our presence and in our lives for what they are, we're a blessed people.
Amen.
Right. Amen. We're so blessed to be able to see it for what it is. So you know, when someone gives you a gift, when someone gives a gift, and I'm talking about truly from their heart, not feeling constrained to do it because of a Catholic holiday or something like that. But I mean, when you truly, somebody wants to give you a gift, they have a desire, well, it's because they want you to benefit from that gift that they're going to give you.
That's right.
They want your life to be enhanced so that you can be benefit from what they want to give you. And it conveys, when they give a gift, it conveys their thought of you and their desire for you. Right?
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so, what they want for your life. And so a true gift is not earned. Right? You don't, because if you do something, I say, well, Brother Daniel was good to me, I'm going to give him a gift, then it's really by earning.
Yeah.
Right? Because you've done something good. Well, I'll give this person a gift because they gave me a gift. Mm-hmm. That's not what this is all, that's not a true gift. A true gift comes from a different motive, and it's not something that you earn. It's not something that you can desire a gift and say, oh, I want one, and you instigate it and cause someone else to give it to you. It's not it at all. It's when the other person, because of their desire for you or their feeling, it's driven from that point, and it's not earned by you. It's a free. It's free to you. And once it's given, it's not brought back. And once it's given, it's not held over your head. Oh, I've been so good to you. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A true gift is freely given with no strings attached. Right. And it's given by the giver because of the desire they have for you and a love they have for you or whatever it is. And they want to see your life enhanced, so they give you something that will be a blessing to you, right, that will help you. And so when it comes to God sending his gifts, it's the same purpose, same reason, same thing. So when God sends his gift, they always come on time. They're always correct. They always, you know, if I wanted to say Brother Daniel, we'll use him for example since he's a fellow minister here in the church, but let's say he needs, let's say he's out of gas, he needs a tank of gas. What good would it do for me to gift him with a gallon of milk? It wouldn't work. That's not what he needs. If you really want to give somebody something, give them something they need, something they will benefit from.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So why would God give us something that we don't need?
Yeah.
That's not what he does. He didn't do that. So God's gifts are always perfect. They're always needed. And he knows it more than we do, what we need.
Mm-hmm.
So his gifts are always correct and they're always on time. So we realize that a proper gift, when a proper gift comes, it has to be fitting for the situation. That's kind of what I was speaking of just then. It has to be fitting for the situation, for the need of the receiver. And that gift to be proper is going to show the intent of the giver, and it's going to be something that's going to help the one who receives it. So it's going to properly convey what the desire is of the giver. And if it's a good gift, it will accomplish what the need is.
Mm-hmm.
Won't be just something they're just going to give, and then it's, well, it's a good thought. I mean, let's say Brother Daniel needs a tank of gas, and I just give him a piece of paper that says tank of gas on it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he needs, but that doesn't properly convey to him what the desire is. That doesn't help him. Because it's just a thought. It's just, see? And so you realize a gift, if the gift is going to be conveyed from somebody who wants to do something for you, then that gift has to be able to properly carry out and bring to pass what it is that you need or what it is the purpose of the one has sent it for.
Right.
Can't just be you know, ignorant stuff or whatever, you know. It has to be something genuine. And so you realize that if it doesn't properly convey these things, then it's kind of worthless.
Yeah.
Right? So many things in life that are traded, you know, given or gifted are so worthless, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so in the world of technology, and I don't want to lose you here, but just natural typing, spiritual, but in the world of technology and in science and mechanics and so forth, there's a concept that's referred to as impedance matching. And so what it means is when you have, say, an energy or a force that you need to transfer, then there has to be some network, something in between that force and where you want to send it that properly transfers it to where it's going. And I'll give you an example. A loudspeaker. So you have power coming from one of these amplifiers or something like that, and that power doesn't get sound to your ears. Because sound to your ears is sound pressure. It's pressure waves. Something that compresses air, right?
Yeah, right.
And so that energy doesn't. But you can take that energy and you put it into a speaker that has a voice coil. It's a little coil there that interacts with a magnet. And when you give it power, that voice coil will move back and forth at the same frequencies that's the sound that you want the person to hear. So they can't hear it coming from the amplifier by itself, but it has to be transformed into a way that they can receive it.
Right.
And so that little voice coil can move back and forth, but the voice coil itself doesn't have a very good impedance matching to the air around it. It has to have some sort of something that can push that air, right? Something that can shove and cause an air pressure wave.
Yeah, right.
And so what they do is they attach to that this cone. So now, you notice that it's not flat, right?
Right.
Because paper is kind of wimpy. You know, if you push it, don't really do a whole lot. But if you move it into a cone where it's rigid, now it can move. And so this is a proper way of taking that energy and converting it into a sound pressure wave so it's done properly. And there's so many things. In you know, if I wanted, say, if Brother Daniel needed me to push him, I couldn't push him very well with a rubber band, could I? Right? So I could take maybe a car and I could try to push the car and push him with the car, but then I couldn't do very good with that because all my energy would be spent pushing the car.
Right?
Right? But I could take maybe a 2x4 and I could push him that way. See, the 2x4 is a proper way to take the energy and transfer it properly. And so like I said, I don't want to get you lost in it, but you realize what God wanted had to be properly transferred down to our need.
Right.
To what we are.
Yeah.
And what we need. And so, when God got ready to save humanity, he had to choose a proper gift.
Yeah.
A proper impedance network, if you want to say that way. He had to choose something that could actually take what God had in his mind and what he was thinking and what he wanted for us. He couldn't just send it in that form. He had to have something that could convert that down into a way and a process that we could receive it, that would actually take effect on us.
Right.
And that's why Jesus Christ had to be both God and man.
Yeah.
Because he was that gift that was to properly convey to humanity what God had on his mind. That all that energy of salvation and all that energy to save his people and to heal his people and to give them a body change and let them live throughout eternity, all of that had to come down to some method that he could actually get it to his people, and that was through the gift of Jesus Christ when he came and he walked up Calvary's hill for you and I.
Yeah.
And so he had to be, Jesus had to be God and man. So you see, had to be man. He had to be kinsman, right? He had to feel like we feel.
Yeah.
He had to hurt like we hurt.
Yeah.
He had to have fear like we had fear, right? The scripture said he it was hurting that he feared.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because if he couldn't feel the same thing we feel, he couldn't be that kinsman.
That's right.
If he didn't feel and have the same humanity to of himself like we did, then he couldn't properly take everything that God wanted and get that to us. But because he was humanity, And yet he was God. Then he properly brought a good impedance match. All of that energy of God was effectively transferred into his people through that transfer of that gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. So every good gift will properly take what the giver wants and will properly transfer that to the receiver. So that they can walk away blessed with the blessing of the one who wants them to have it. Amen. And so that's what a good gift is. So when God wanted to save humanity, he didn't send somebody that came through man's system.
Right.
Jesus did not come through the Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious systems of the day. He didn't come through the Roman system. He didn't come from the world system. And not only that, let me just throw that in there, neither did his forerunner. His forerunner didn't come through that system either. See, so when God had all this energy he wanted to bring down through humanity, he could not properly get that into humanity if he would have chose a Pharisee or a Sadducee or something else. Because they would not be a good gift. They would not be a good impedance transfer. Right? Of that energy of God into humanity, they wouldn't have been able to do it.
Right.
So I'm saying that because I want you to understand how these things come from God.
Mm-hmm.
They do not come through man's system.
Yeah.
They don't do it. They come through ordained way of God. But the way he chooses is so much rejected with the world.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't come the way the world wants it. But he came through a system that God had. And so God showing through this how that his intent and how his blessings come, what they come through. They do not come through man's systems, but they come through a vessel that's capable of taking what God had and actually getting that into the people's lives. And that's what Jesus did. That's what the Holy Ghost does.
Yeah.
A handshake won't properly change you. Putting your name on a church book don't change you. Doesn't properly get to you that which God wanted to send to you to give you overcoming power. Amen. And so, they thought that the Messiah, that he would come and he'd be some great mighty general. Remember Brother Graham talking about that, how that they thought he had just some great general and come and maybe perhaps he had just throw all the Romans off into the sea or something like that and liberate Israel. Right? That's what they thought. They thought, I think I heard him talking about yesterday, you talking to Pharisees or Sadducees, do you believe that he's going to come? Oh yeah, Messiah's going to come. And, well, how's he going to come? He says, well, he's going to come right down from the portals of heaven. He's going to walk right up to the high priest and shake his hand. And they didn't come that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way man thought it was going to be. Every system out there thinks they're right. Every denomination thinks that God's working through them. Right? And that's not to say that things don't get done through them because God pours out his rain on the just and the unjust. Right? He will honor faith. But every one of them thinks that the Messiah is coming through them. Right? But the Messiah comes through the one that he chooses. His gifts come the way he wants them to come and in the form that he wants them to come. And so they thought he was going to be some great mighty general, a man of war. And you know what? He actually was a man of war. It's just that his battle techniques was not in the strength of muscle and might and spears and swords, but it was in character and it was in the sword of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So he was a man of war. He was mighty in battle.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Mighty in battle. And so he was strong and his strength was character, not muscles. And so gifts always come. Through God, a good gift will come and it will represent the one who sent it. And so God's gift represents him. And it properly, and you realize, like if I give you a gift that you need or whatever, then really there's a portion of me that goes in that. That even though I'm gone and far away somewhere else, if it's something you need, then in essence, my presence is there helping you. Could you so God actually came through his gift, literally, right? He came through his gift. And so It is God in the gift. Every gift that comes from above, God comes down and he's in that. That's why I've said it's God in you that I love. It's God in each other that we love. Right. It's God in the gifts in this church. Mm-hmm. And that's what we love. It's the family of God. It's the life of God.
Yes.
And so we realize that Brother Ram was talking a lot of times at Christmas time. He's talking about the wise men. And those wise men came and brought gifts to Jesus. And those gifts, Brother Ram was saying that in the sermon, God's gifts always find their place, that those gifts that the wise men brought were very fitting. They were fitting to the situation and to who it was they were giving it to. And so he talks about it. We know this, that they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. I laughed, Josh. Josh was telling us the other day, he said, and some of you probably know what I'm fixing to say, but Josh was saying, yeah, he saw this little meme or whatever, and he said, it said that a lot of theologians don't realize there was actually four wise men. And he sent it to us. There was a little picture, and it showed the three wise men coming up there, and one of them was walking away. And he said, there was actually four wise men, but the fourth one was turned away because he brought fruitcake. And I can kind of relate with that. But there were three, you know, we think three wise men because they had three gifts, but there were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so gold represents deity, represents God. Was Jesus Christ in that little baby as he grew up, was he God? Yes, he was gold. And so the next one was frankincense, which is used in service, right? So what did he come for? He came here to be a servant. So that was a proper gift also. And the last one was myrrh, and they used that in burial. Sacrifice, right? Was he going to be our sacrifice? Yes. And so Brother Brandon was saying, these gifts that these wise men brought were proper gifts. They were fitting. Because they spoke of the one that they were giving it to. And so we realize that proper gifts, as he said, proper gifts always find their place. He says now, these wise men bringing their gifts identified what he was. And that's the reason. Now, don't you catch this now. Right? They brought their proper gifts to properly relay and declare the situation and identify the situation. And God sends gifts. And when God sends a gift, it will properly identify the hour, the day, the purpose, whatever it is. It'll be there to meet the need. And if God sends it, it will thoroughly meet the need.
Right.
It won't be short. Right? And see, so he says, their gifts, they brought, identified what he was. And that's the reason God protected these gifts through every move they made. It wasn't just a 2 or 3 day journey. It was a 2 year journey. These men brought these things. 2 years. And you know, there was robbers and there was all kinds of things. And God protected those wise men with those gifts. And it took 2 years in bringing them so they could honor and identify the one that was being born there. And so Brother Ram said, that's the reason why God protected it. Those gifts through every move that they made. You understand that, Brother Ram says? You understand that? And now, that's what's going on now. I hope it ain't over your head. I have to speak in parables almost. Brother Ram's trying to tell us something here, right? You see, but do you see, it's the things that are happening is fitting for the day. Laodicea. It's the fitting time. That's the reason God has protected it in our day.
Yeah.
God sent a gift. Right? He's being protected. See, he brought it right down through to identify himself. And gifts, though it cost a death, it put a stumbling block in their way. It's a fitting time. Fitting for the day. And that's the reason God has protected it the way he has. And he will protect it until his purpose is served. Amen. So, Brother Branham, what I want you to see here is that God makes sure those gifts get where they need to go.
Right.
He makes sure they get there. And they properly fit. And they're on time. And they do what they're supposed to do. No question about it. And so, we appreciate these little things like this. And God's gifts always find their place.
Amen.
Amen. But one more thing in there before I move on. That gift will find its place, though it cost a death, and though it may blind many of them. See, though it might be death and sorrow and pain involved in getting that gift there. Mm-hmm. Though it might make others mad, though it might blind some, but he gets it there.
Yeah.
And it does his job. Yeah. Right? Amen. He does his job. And so, what these wise men brought was fitting. And Brother Ben said, so is it here at the end time. You know, when God wanted to bring a restoration in this last day, it's funny, I want to talk a little bit about this restoration in this, and Brother Daniel came in this morning, he's talking about restoration. What God wanted to do in our day to bring restoration, he's doing the same thing he did back then. He's not coming through man's system. It doesn't come through man's system. We have to look at these nuggets and realize we're on track. That God did not send Jesus Christ through those systems of the world, and he's not doing it today.
Yeah.
And when God sends something, though it blinds many, might offend others, and most people might miss it, but God's gift will find its place and will accomplish what he sent it to do. And so he did the same thing today, because this end time ministry did not come through all that stuff. John the Baptist would have been in that system, but God took him out. Right? And our prophet would have been in those things, but God took him out of those things. Right?
Right.
Because he cannot represent an organization of men.
Right.
Right? He couldn't. So it's the same thing. And so, but the gift that God would send in this day would be the same way, would not come through man's system, but it would be able to properly convey to us what God wanted us to get.
Yeah.
Right? So, some great big television evangelist could not properly get to us rapturing faith.
Right.
Could not properly get to us the real Holy Ghost himself. Right? And so it couldn't come that way because, see, and all these great men that knew Brother Branham and he was friends with him, whatever, and had great big television programs and great big fine buildings, and he's got a little bitty trailer with a little bitty typewriter on a little bitty thing in the corner.
Right.
But that's the way God sent it. And that's the only way it could have come to effectively reach the world. You say, Brother Tony, one of these guys with a worldwide ministry, it could go through that, it could get to more people, but it wouldn't. It might get to more people, but what would it get to them?
Yeah.
It wouldn't get to them the proper thought that God had that he wanted to transfer.
That's right.
So God sent a perfect gift in this day, and it came in the form that he wanted, and guess what? We receive what God wanted through that gift because it had the proper matching. See, he had to, I don't know. I guess it's this way with everybody, but I like it that Brother Branham liked to hunt. Mm-hmm. I like it that he was a country man,
right?
Just a country, somebody from Kentucky.
Yeah.
Speaks to me, right? Right? I like the fact that he come with stories that we relate to.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Those stories he told, it touches us because he's speaking in our language. He coming in our common way. He came that way.
Yeah.
Right? And what? He came as a God, like a God with skin on it, right? Not that he was God, but God in skin
coming in a way that we can relate to it. And so what's happening, that proper thing, that exposure of the word in this hour was coming through a proper gift. Because we could relate to it and it would speak to us. Mm-hmm. But if some great highfalutin somebody stand up somewhere and just speak, you know, over television and try to get to it, it wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? Right. God's gifts always come the way that he wants them, and they're very effective. Fully able to take effect in our lives. But it was rejected, just like it was in Jesus' day. It was rejected. Why did they reject it? Jesus, Brother Brandon pointed this out too, but as long as Jesus was doing the miracles and signs and wonders, they loved it. As long as he was giving them fishes and loaves and feeding them and all their needs being met like that, they loved it. But when he began to speak to them in a way that was correcting their doctrinal errors they'd got into, when he began to speak to them things that means that they were going to have to change their lives, their lives are going to have to change, they didn't want that part.
Right.
And it just, I don't think I've expressed it before, but it's just dumbfounding to me that those Pharisees, Sadducees could be there and that Jesus could stretch, make that man's hand that was withered right in their presence on the Sabbath day, and yet they wanted to challenge him.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. You know? Like I think it was Nicodemus or whoever it was said, we know that you know, God, you can't do these things unless God's with you. Then why not listen to him?
Right.
It's just, but what you're seeing here is humanity, fallen humanity, and their capability to look at something that's a perfect gift from God and dismiss it and say it's something different. Because that lays in fallen humanity to do that. And they did it then, and they do it now. But even while they were enjoying the blessings and rejoicing in the things that God was doing in Jesus Christ, right? And yet, while they were doing that, they were rejecting his word. Like Brother Graham said, the voice of the sign. They loved the signs and wonders, but they did not like the voice that came with it.
Right.
So they rejected him because of that.
Yeah.
And so, we know in the scriptures when St. John chapter 6, verse 66. Right? This is a hard saying. Who can hear these things? And many that followed him turned and walked away and followed him no more. St. John chapter 6, verse 66. Because that's what happens when you get the influence of Satan in your life, as you turn around and walk away from the word.
Yep.
And then that's what brings a mark upon people, mark of the beast. And so these guys, when they were standing there, just like in our day, oh, Brother Brown, that's right, we're going to come down there and be baptized. And not one of them came.
Yep.
Why did they not come? Because they esteemed something else greater. They esteemed their position and said, well, if I go down there, I'll lose my position. Mm-hmm. Their congregation or whatever it is, right? Right? Yep. They were something, and so many of them was like, well, you know, I know more about this. And that's the story goes out. So, well, you know, when he's discerning and so forth, he's a prophet, but his teachings are off. Mm-hmm. Really? It's mind-boggling to me. What they're saying is that God is endorsing false teaching,
right,
by doing signs and wonders and miracles.
Yeah.
It's what they're saying. You see what I'm saying? It just doesn't make sense. And so, same thing happened in our day. And they tell Brother Branham these things are right, and their own, I've seen it, I've read it, their own writings talk about how his that gift was accurate and never missed, and yet he was off in his doctrine, was what they say. And they don't understand that a prophet, a man who's able to do what Brother Branham did, showing that God had sent that gift, that he is a divine interpreter of the word.
Right.
Right? He becomes the absolute for the age. Right? And if there is no more coming because he was the seventh. But if there was to be another ministry, then when that rose up and God identified it that way, then we could go to that. And we could go with it. And it wouldn't be contrary to this one. Right? If it's God. But you realize That gift was perfect. And yet, they were wise and prudent. They'd say, oh, you know, I know, I've studied. I'm a theologian, I've studied, and I know he's off in his doctrine. But man, God answers his prayer. And he's a prophet, and he never misses it. But don't listen to his teaching, because I know more about it than he does. They're wise and prudent in their own thinking, and so God hid it from them. But hid that gift from them. Wise in their own conceits is a good phrase that comes up. And all I can say is, don't you be the same. Don't you say, well, Brother Graham says thus and thus, but I think. Don't you do that. Now, I'm officially telling you, don't do that. Because it's way too easy. It's way too easy to say, well, but I think this is what he means. Right? Don't do that. Because if you do, you're making the same mistake they did. God vindicates his word. And shows that it's right because it accomplishes it. It does what he sent it to do. Amen. So it has to be a proper gift. And as I said a while ago, it's God in that gift. Right? God coming in that gift. And when God comes down into a gift, and I'm going to throw this in there. See, God dresses himself. There's a quote about this where God dresses himself in his people. God comes down and he clothes himself with you and with me. So God desires to be seen, but what he has chosen to be seen through is you and me in our day. So God has dressed himself. God has chosen a mask to wear to express through. God has chosen our garment to express it. We are that garment. We are that people, right? We're the body.
Yeah.
Right? And so he's chosen that to work through. And so God will come down and he will work through a chosen mask or a chosen person and express himself. But God will never come down and put on a mask and then try to express something different than what that mask is. Let me say it this way. God will never come down into a man and then anoint that man to act like a woman.
Right.
Everybody agree?
Yeah.
And neither will he anoint a woman to act like a man.
Right.
Whatever the mask is, whatever the gift that's there, that's how he will express himself through that gift.
Right.
I see all these across the land, you know, pastors and prophet so-and-so. Hmm. Pastor so-and-so, prophet so-and-so. Why would God anoint a pastor and try to act out a prophet? He's got prophets to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa. You understand? And I realize, you know, John the Baptist was a gifted man. Brother Branham was very gifted. There was a reason why he did the work of an evangelist. Didn't say he was an evangelist, but he did the work of an evangelist. Because just like he told Paul told Timothy, right? So God can express whatever gifts he wants through that. But I'm talking about just across the land, common. What you see happen so much, especially in Pentecostal circles, that. All these people, they want to have all these different gifts and things like that. And you can tell they're acting out something that's not. Just like when we went to Fort Smith over there in the church that we was in, and they told, the guy told Brother Forrest, you need to push the plate back, right? Well, probably most of us could do that, right? But you understand? Totally trying to act out something that was not gifted. That if God was in that mask, he would not be trying to do what that guy was doing.
Right.
Trying to emulate someone else.
Right.
Trying to act out something he's not called to do. Mm-hmm. So one of the greatest gifts, I said earlier, to be blessed is to be able to recognize God's gifts. One that's sent in your presence to help you, but also the gift that's in you to help others to properly recognize what that gift is and use it accordingly. So many people trying to be something they're not called to be. And it always hinders the sheep, hinders the flock,
scatters, causes trouble when they do that. And so God's gifts are perfect. They always work. He'll always work through the mask that he puts on and expresses himself through. So I'm sorry when the scripture says for a woman not to preach or usurp authority over the man. You can teach the sisters at home, the younger at home, just like the scripture says. But when a woman stands up and wants to preach and teach and have authority over man, that is not God.
Right.
Because God is breaking his own word to do that if he was. God will always work through the gift that he has sent properly.
Right, yeah.
Not something different. So, in your ministry here in this church, God did not send to you great, eloquent, fine, worldwide known ministers. He didn't do that. But he did send me and Brother Daniel. Keep in mind, God's gifts always are what he wants it to be. And it will get done what he wants done. It will have the impact in the life of those he sends it to. Right? And so many times people might say, well, I wish it was this or I wish it was that. But God sends to you exactly what he wants you to have, what you need that will match. See? So when Brother Daniel and I, we're just like you. We're just like you. We're not sitting behind some desk somewhere three or four states away telling you what you should do. We're right here in this battle with you. In the natural, when we come here and we have work to do here, work here at church, Brother Daniel roll our sleeves up and I, we get right in and work right with you because we're with you. You know, the shepherd supposed to smell like the sheep, right? He's supposed to laugh like the sheep. He's supposed to be from it. And so, what am I saying? That we can relate to each other.
Right.
And so we can stand here and preach the gospel as a brother, as a fellow brother.
Yeah.
Right down here on the same level you are. You don't have to be worried about coming and asking a question or asking for prayer. Or, you know, don't think we're so high and mighty something. We're not. We're one of you. Right? We're just what we are. And not trying to be anything different. Brother Daniel, not trying to be something he's not. I'm not trying to be something I'm not. We're just trying to be what God sent us to be because we know that's the most effective way that we can touch your life.
Yeah.
That you can look at us and say, you know, I can relate. We can relate. Right? Mm-hmm. Amen. And so God's gift to the local body comes just exactly the way he wants. And can I say, it's perfect for what God sent it for. Amen? That's not boasting, bragging. That's the opposite of what I'm trying to tell you. The simplicity of surrender to what God is doing in our lives.
Amen.
To recognize the gifts of God, both around us and in us, and what they're here for, and how they properly come and get things done for the kingdom of heaven. That you can look at one another and see God with skin on.
Yeah.
And experience God with skin on.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That someone can walk over to somebody else and put their arm around them and say, God bless you, or something like that, or pick up the phone or whatever, and speak to you. Mm-hmm. Not just like, oh, just go on, but actually do something to encourage you. See? That's the things that we know God does so well. So, it's not just your ministry here in the church. Every one of you are gifted by Almighty God. You're here for a purpose. And you may say, well, brother, don't have to do nothing in the church. You come in the door and you sit here and you amen the word, right? You may not even amen it with your voice, but inside you, if you're amening the word, that reverberates out. Your spirit is just like, we all come together and we all have a lick of fire. And you may say, well, I don't do nothing. You can pray. Mm-hmm. You can be here during service. It encourages others when they see you here.
That's right.
Right? And it discourages when they find you not here.
That's right.
Is that right?
Amen.
When you're not here, they wonder. Oh, I wonder what's wrong. I wonder how brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so is doing.
Yeah.
Right? Because we are a body. We are a family.
Amen.
right? And so, every one of you have a gift. Every one of you have a positive influence on this fellowship, and we would not be the same if you're missing.
Amen. That's right.
That's right. And I'm not just, this is not just a pep talk to get you to come to church every service. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is so that you recognize the gifts in your midst and the gift in you and what it's there for. Because it always finds its place. And when Satan gets in the way, and then we start trying to do something, be somewhere, do something different. But when God's in control, we will be a blessing to those he sent us to.
Amen.
And we will express something that only we can express. Right? Amen. And so every one of you. But there's one particular gift in the church that I want to mention today. And that is our musicians and our singers.
Amen.
Right? And I've told you this, even right here in this building back in Pentecost, and setting and without any music. And many times was just me and my guitar playing, which was very, very elementary. But longing for good music, for, you know, worship, and went that way for a long time. And so when you find yourself in a service where there are gifted people who come in and they express God in them through their gift, it is such a blessing. And if you look at what music through the Bible is, I mean, think about that. It ushers you into the presence of God. It gets you ready for the ministry of the word. It softens your heart. It's a buffer between, you know, your all the world and all the things you've had to fight all week to get here, and you come in and there's a transition that helps you get ready for the ministry of the word, and it is the singing, the worship, the music. Okay. And it's so powerful. In the Bible, music was used when you go to battle. Because it gives encourages, mm-hmm. right? It gives courage. It lifts you up when you feel down.
That's right.
Right? And so, I don't know if it's possible. I don't think it is, but maybe for somebody, I don't know. But it's hard to sing when you're sad. Like in the scriptures, when they're carried away into Babylon, and they're saying, those who carried us captives are telling us, won't you sing one of the songs of Zion? Well, how can we sing a song of Zion when we're in bondage, we're in captivity? How can we sing a rejoiceful song when we're in bondage? Right? And so, but singing, worship, brings you into a spiritual environment. If you look at the scriptures where the prophets was there, and he said to the king of Israel, he said, I wouldn't even, if it wasn't for the king of Judah, I wouldn't even look upon, I wouldn't even be here. But only because of the king of Judah, a righteous king, am I here. And they needed help, and he said, okay, bring me a minstrel. Somebody came and began to sing, play music, and through that music, I mean, this guy was a prophet. He's a prophet of the Lord. But he needed music.
That's right.
That's there for a reason. Yeah. And so he began to play, and the Spirit of the Lord come on the prophet, and he told them what they needed to do. Brother, sister, we're no different. When we come into this house, right, God has placed the gift of musicians and singing and worship for a reason, that the Spirit of the Lord might come, right? We know God inhabits his word, and his word will come, but it's through entering and getting you ready and so our musicians, you know, we read in the scriptures where Saul had an evil spirit, and David could play on his harp or whatever it was and drive that evil thing away.
That's right.
Right? So you see, our musicians and the songs and the singing and so forth, look what it does. Can give you courage. It can prepare you for the word. It can give you strength to rise up and go out and fight the battle and so forth. Right? And drive evil, the evil influences of the world off of you so you can sit and listen to the word. So it's a very powerful ministry. Amen?
Amen.
And we realize that it must be watched because it is powerful. Because of how powerful it is. Because Satan uses it out there in the world. And through music, he can take a people that would not just, you know, maybe wouldn't do something, can come in and anoint them through that music and carry them off into something that they would never go into by themselves.
Right.
God uses it.
Sure.
Brings us right on in his presence. But music does that.
Right.
Music does that. It grabs people and it takes them somewhere. Right? And so we realize that Brother Rem tells us that when we understand that in this last day that basically hell is opened up, and now there are names that are being spoken now that could not have been spoken till our day. And now we have rock and roll music. We never had rock and roll music throughout all the ages. But now we have it. Right? So music's going to take... So where do you think rock and roll music is ushering people to? Do you think it's ushering them into the presence of God?
No.
Where is it ushering them to?
Right.
See what I'm saying? Very powerful. And Satan so easily can use that. And next thing you know, move people into a spirit and a realm that's contrary to the word. And so that's why, as a church, we're thankful for our musicians. And we pray for them just like you pray for your ministry, right?
That's right.
That they would be spirit-led. I know Brother Tim, I've seen him. I mean, and just different songs that people sing, you know, that so many times they're right in the mindset of what the minister, God has spoken to him. You know, like I said the other day, whenever the Lord told me that Brother Tim was going to sing that song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, because I was going to be preaching on, and that wasn't me, that wasn't my thought, and then when I come in here and he didn't sing it during song service, I thought, well, maybe I missed the Lord, and even he said afterwards, it was kind of strange, but he used that song to call me to the pulpit. It's important that your song, your singers, that you don't just sing something, but you feel led of the Lord to sing it.
Right.
That you feel led of the Lord to practice a song and learn it.
Yes.
So you can sing it. You see what I'm saying? That musician need to be spirit-led also. Because we all work together. And so today we just wanted to take just a moment. And that's not really what the sermon came, you know, about gifts. But then it falls right into something we wanted to do today, is to make sure and recognize and honor all the musicians and singers in the church.
Amen.
And say thank you.
Amen.
You're very needed,
yes.
Very cherished,
amen.
And we pray for you.
Amen.
It's very important. Amen?
Amen.
And so, it's proper gifts. To bless this body of believers like you do. So Brother Branham tells a story there about a man who was sick. His wife was sick. I think they had TB. The little girl was sick. And I don't remember what the story, if it said anything about his wife. Maybe she died. I don't remember. But the little girl always wanted a doll for Christmas. She wanted a doll. And she was sick, and they were poor, and they couldn't get what they needed. And the little girl died. And the man was a little bit kind of in his mind. It affected him when he lost his daughter. So he would sit around, and he'd say, even though she was gone, he'd say, "Darling, I'm going to get you that doll. I'm going to get that doll that you wanted. Daddy promises I'm going to get you that doll." And he had already told her that before she passed, but she had promised him that she passed on, and so it affected him. And so it comes to the night before Christmas, and everybody was having all their parties and having a big time and all that, and here's this man, and he's able to come up with just enough money and was able to go somewhere and find this little bitty, worn-out, dirty doll, but he was able to purchase it, and he was taking it to his daughter, you know. And it was, you know, after hours of... Policeman comes by and sees him. "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm taking this to my daughter, you know." "And where do you live?" Well, I live at so and so. Says you're going the wrong way. You're drunk. You're drunk. You don't even know what you're doing. You know, and he went on about his policeman went on or whatever. And so Brother Graham said the next morning they found the old man laying there in the alleyway where it was. And when they turned him over, he had that little doll there, you know, and he had passed on. And Brother Graham got choked up when he said that. He said, perhaps that was the only fitting way that he could deliver that, because he had promised her he would bring that doll, and she had passed. And so the only way he could have truly done that now was when he would go himself. I don't remember the exact words that Brother Brown used, but he was saying, see, it was proper, right, what he was trying to do there. But he said, let me read it. He said, the little old doll didn't mean too much, and I guess the little dirty-faced doll, but what did it do? It fulfilled a promise that he had made. No matter what the people thought about it, his dirty hands on a little old doll, dirty doll, but it fulfilled a promise to his little girl. And sometimes they look at the gospel as singing and playing. Some people, that's all they recognize is just music and singing and playing. That's all. They don't see what's really going on in the gospel, right? But sometimes they just look upon the gospel as singing and playing. They don't want it when God brought it, but it has fulfilled the promise that he would give us his son. And so I say all that to tell you that God's gifts always find their place. They're rejected. They're misunderstood by many. But for them to be delivered and for them to be effective, there is trial. There is suffering. There is pain that it takes to be dedicated to always seek the Lord for a sermon, to always seek the Lord for a song, for what you're going to, right? It's a battle, right? And it goes through that, but it fulfills the promise of what God sent it for. Amen? And I want to encourage each one of you to know that's the way it works for you. Yes, you do fight battles, but just remember, God sent you for a reason, to be a blessing to his people.
Right.
Amen? And though it costs things and many things you have to give up in order to dedicate yourself, you have to die out the things to dedicate yourself, but just remember, God's promise of sending his gifts in his church and being present in his people is fulfilling that promise. Amen. So may the Lord richly bless you as the musicians come. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Lord, we want to thank you this morning because your gifts do find their place. Lord, when we walk with your people for years, and we see the battles they go through, and we see the dedication that they have to continue to press on and try their best just to surrender to you and express you to those around them. Lord, it blesses our heart to know that we walk with people like that. Lord, we believe them to be your sons and daughters, and we believe them to be a gift from you, Lord, to bless us. I pray, God, that you be the life that is in us that operates these things, and Lord, that your spirit just could move from one to the next, that you could be that cord that would tie us all together and keep us in that narrow pathway that leads to righteousness, Lord. We love you. We thank you for our musicians, Lord. We thank you for the dedication that they have. And we pray today, Lord, that they feel blessed, loved, and respected to know, God, that this church needs them. And we really appreciate them. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.